I'm not hearing the music anymore.
Oh, I heard it. I heard it loud still going? And clear. Yeah, it's petering out perfectly. You can't hear it?
It cut out. That's okay. If it's playing, if you guys are grooving.
We're grooving then, and moving.
As expected, this is Yo, Is This Racist, the independent podcast that has no fucking hitches. Everything is working out perfectly on our first episode by ourselves.
If you thought this podcast was a little shaky before, mm-hmm. get ready. Get mm-hmm. ready for us to redefine what professionalism looks like, what dignity looks like, what...
Oh my God. I didn't even think about dignity. Yeah. We're
taking a significant dignity hit here, and I love it. I've never felt more at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I finally feel right. Just sitting at a different table. I'm also sitting at a different table than I usually sit at. I had to reschedule already because of other work.
First this indie was... record. Andrew's already firing out the emails. Sorry. Is there any way? It's perfect.
It was a real fucking mess.
It's perfect.
But yeah, this is still Yo, Is This Racist? And this is still Andrew T. and Tawny Newsom. And yeah, this is the podcast where we independently talk about your racism shit.
This is where we do a racism podcast, but we no longer work for any white people. Not Damn. That they made us do anything weird, but it is just a little mentally. It's a little bit of a relief to me that the owners of this now company are just us, and there's no white people that we have to ask for our paycheck from.
Do you remember about four months ago when this kind of started germinating as an idea, and we said, well, we definitely don't want to own a podcast company.
Right. Yeah,
we do not say that. But we do sort of have a loose collective business agreement that in many ways feels a lot like a podcast company.
Hey. Look, here's what I pitch. We have a special guest here, and
yes.
I want to bring him
and
in.
We fucked this up because I forgot. I haven't been used to having a guest, so I apologize.
No, that's
you,
okay.
Tawny, only.
Okay, well, that's fine. But this is kind of a different setup because, you know, we used to just have the guest in the question portion. Now we're shaking things up. We're having them on a little earlier. So how about now, while we talk about this business endeavor that we've created, why don't we pitch it to our guest? Because he's not really involved in it, doesn't know much about it, but he knows us very well.
Yeah, well, our guest is a person that I will say we know too well. Former producer of this show, Cody motherfucking Ziegler. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? What's up, brother Andrew, sister Tawny? Welcome to Freedom. Hope you guys are enjoying the sweet nectar of no longer having to enter the corporate masters.
I'm
glad you're free.
We did not intend to get Hotep-y, but did we accidentally?
Yeah, I'm a new man now. I'm Hotep Zig.
Oh, now you're Hotep Zig.
Yeah, I don't eat any meat. I don't eat no swine. My pH balance is perfectly balanced as all things should be. I'm thriving.
Oh no.
Oh no. I regret this.
This is chaos, Zig.
Yeah, we're off to what can only be described as the worst start possible. Hotep Zig is here. Zig, how you been? How you been since leaving us?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, leaving the show, is definitely very sad for the first couple of months. But you know, I powered through. I thrived. Honestly, because
I feel like you were real happy for the first like 2 weeks, and then
only because I was getting Marvel paychecks, and then it just became the everyday thing. But honestly, like since we stay in near contact in one of our 3 dozen text threads, it didn't really feel like I really left the show that much, other than I wasn't sending emails to guests to book them on the show.
That's true.
And then also I fled LA as well, so.
Yeah. Followers of my Instagram or Zig's Instagram will know that right after he left, pretty much, we started building a Lego Porg outside of our respective day jobs in the
We got paid, and then we immediately put money back into Disney's pockets, as all good
It was straight fucked up how much money I spent at the Disney store.
You know, the real messed up thing is
that's
is that,
how they get you.
Yeah, first of all, like, Andrew, like, knew all the deals. Like, it was, like, literally my first week on the lot, and he just showed me the Disney employee store. But after we built the Porg, like COVID hit, so, like, the Porg has been inside the She-Hulk writer's room unattended for, like, 8 months now. So, like, who even knows how that thing's looking?
I heard it broke season two
already. Oh, yeah, he's been doing work. He's got some really good pitches. Like, we had to rein him in a little bit at the beginning, but he's got some pretty good story ideas. More of a character Porg than anything.
Sure. More of a character
Porg. Realize. Yeah. I thought it was. I envisioned him as more of a story guy, so that's cool.
Well, that's what we thought too. You know, he's really found his footing, spread his little Porg wings, and now he's flying.
Oh, first independent episode, just making writer's room jokes? What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, now we're really inside baseball. How are y'all thriving?
We're thriving, and thank you so much for asking. I'm putting on my salesperson voice because, Zig, we want to pitch you the shit that we've already done. So we're not so much pitching you as telling you about it in an enthusiastic way. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I am so ready. Hit me.
So Andrew and I have taken this podcast independent, true or false?
True.
And
yes,
thank you. Yep, you win the first round. Round two. We, you know, a lot of independent pods, in addition to selling ads and stuff, they set up something like a Patreon. That we thought about that. That was an option. But what we ended up doing was a more complicated Patreon.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Am I pitching this well?
Yeah.
Basically, what we did, though, I'm very excited because we built this. We need to brand that Complicatreon. But like every fucking thing I do, I can never do anything regular. I always have to do shit different. And we decided to custom build a subscription platform.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there we go.
For all the weird shit we want to do.
Well,
so
I just want to, first thoughts is that it shows an initiative. It shows thinking outside the box. So, like, I'm already invested emotionally.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Zig is giving us a performance review, and it does feel a little bit like the amount that he's being nice up top means he's going to fire us.
I know.
It feels like we're in trouble.
Not my day one.
I should say, we can't take full credit. We had some of the best brains in the biz working with us on this. But so basically what we've done, it's called Suboptimal Pods because it's the optimal place to subscribe to Andrew and Tani's podcasts. No negative connotations with that word at all. Just optimal place to subscribe.
Positive only.
All positive, nothing janky. You can always hear the theme music, and Andrew will never order soup in the middle of a record.
That's the Andrew I know. You're writing checks that my mouth definitively can't cash. I'm going to peel back the curtain a little bit. I literally was about to order soup. I was going to mute myself and order soup right now.
Oh,
that's not a joke. Now I can't do it.
You ate soup last week, and we joked that this week the soup was going to be hot, and you're literally going to order hot soup.
Are you a soup boy? Are you a soup boy right now because of the season?
I'm a Superman, baby.
All right. Can we cut his mic be me and Tawny for the rest of the thing? Oh, I was going to say I did coincidentally just eat some soup for dinner. So
what?
I am with you spiritually.
Get the fuck out of here,
Zig.
He's with
you spiritually, but he's cut you off. He just wants to talk to me now.
Yeah, my homeboy.
So for the price of between a very cheap cup of coffee or a big city annoying
too
cup
expensive
of coffee per
cup
week.
Of coffee.
Yeah. Per week or kind of per month. I don't know. I guess per month. You can support us. I feel like... here's a question. Are we going to tweet that people should cancel their Stitcher Premium subscriptions so that they can support us?
Absolutely. We don't have anything on Stitcher
Premium. Yeah, they're the competition now, man.
Honestly, look, we have a lot of good friends on there. If you listen for other shit, absolutely support them. We tried to make it work on there. You know, Earwolf worked with us a lot to try and, you know, figure out a way where we could stay, and we really tried to make it work. It just wasn't a good fit. So now we're all happy. Everyone's friends. Colin's not mad at us, I don't think. I think everyone's fine, but we really were like, we've got to take control and just do our own shit. It was always a weird fit. I mean, I love Earwolf because I love being on all those weird comedy pods, but like, you don't want to be the you don't want to be the most responsible, like trying to be the wokest show on a comedy network. It's weird.
Yeah, it puts a big old target on your back.
Yeah, we can't. I can't be like the seventh blackest person on the host roster. That's really where you just know shit is not going correct. You know what I mean?
We
just
air need it out, more King. Air that clip more out.
More color in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, shout out to Lacey. Yeah. Shout out to the Culture Kings. Shout they out. Doing it. Shout out to Nagin Farsad. They doing it. All right. Shout out to Spanish Aki Presents. They doing it.
It's crazy
but
that
we just had to do it alone.
It's crazy that three of the black shows brought in were brought in by a black producer. That's kind of wild.
Yeah. Wow. Like we
that
actually
is a little wild.
Had a minor huddle beforehand about how much or little to empty out the clip, and I think we've already gone past where we discussed.
All right, I'll chill. So. I'll self-censor now.
I'm really not even trying to. Look, I got I have no. I'm happy because we got what we wanted. We're doing what we want. They're supporting us. We're happy for our friends who stayed there and are thriving. Mm-hmm. Everyone's happy. So here's what we got.
Oh yeah.
The suboptimal shows that you can subscribe to. You can subscribe to Yo Can We Live, which we're calling the Racism Antidote Show. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because racism is sad and bad. So that's the show where we talk to black and brown folks and they just live and win.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got this wild grab bag called the Suboptimal Bundle, which is really, realizing, just a grown-up version of Teen Tawny's Diaries, where I just unload all my weird artsy shit because the stakes are very low. So there's a lot of weird stuff in there. We just did a goofy movie watch along.
What?
That
you know,
was...
I'm already so sold on this network. Like I'm a huge fan of any of the tawny arts that you do, of the various things that you do. So like knowing that you're going to be doing a grab bag, you already got my $4.99, $5.99, whatever the cheap cup of coffee a day is.
Well, go to suboptimalpods.com. You can see a whole selection of options. I will say, the one I'm proudest of, for $100, I will unblock you on Twitter. That is
oh, that's great.
My favorite tier.
So if you just want the Yo Can We Live show, the racism antidote show, if you just want to support us bit, you want to hear nice things about black and brown folks, that's just $4 a month. A lot of subscription shows are doing $5 a month. We're not doing that.
We're literally creating the race pay gap. So we're only you, by signing up listeners to support us, only you can with volume make up for the racism of society.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I'm really excited about is the bundle, the suboptimal bundle, because that's only $6 a month, and it's got all this weird shit. So this is why we didn't just do a Patreon. Lots of love for that platform. I know a lot of musicians who really use that platform well. LOL for that platform, for sure. But the reason we didn't do that is because this allows us a little bit more flexibility. We can offer you standalone downloads. Totally. We can offer you, like, we can put video in here and stuff. There's just, like, a little bit more flexibility with the type of stuff. So I'm going to be putting cover tunes in there. We're going to do weird limited series pods. My friend Poonam Patel and I are working on a limited series pod. She's from the Netflix show Special. Heard of it? I told you about the Goofy movie watch along.
That's okay. Yeah, more watch alongs. I mean, I think we're gonna try to do a watch along of a couple of my Mixed Dish episodes.
Please let me. If you need a voice, please. I would love to.
This
to watch
actually
Mixed Dish episode
just occurred to me because I think in pandemic I'm gonna start finally getting back into being a photographer, which I was like in my 20s. I genuinely was like, I'm gonna be a great artist.
Hell yeah.
But I'm trying to figure out, I don't know how to give people pieces of a photograph, but
I know exactly
version.
How I just learned how to do all the internal shit. Trust me. This is also the thing that I nerd out about. I like knowing how the guts of the thing work. So my man, we're gonna have a tech talk, a little run through together. I'm going to show you how to get your little artsy ass photographs out to the masses.
Oh boy.
This is wonderful.
I love this.
This is wonderful.
I love
this
start. I love Yo's racist startup.
Yeah. This is really like, I mean, Tawny has been beyond a mogul right now. She's wearing a black turtleneck.
Yeah.
She's been lying to everyone constantly, which is real weird. And she just keeps on like talking about how much money she has, which is like...
Look, I've been watching Succession for the past 2 days and binging it. So like I'm all in, like starting a new business, but I'm 100% with you.
Amazing.
Okay, good. Well, we'll take your signups at suboptimalpods.com. Get out your credit card and support us.
Please, and thank you.
Then there's a couple other options. Yes. There's a little gentle tip jar option if you're like, this is all too wild and I just want to show support for my favorite pods now being totally independent and braving the cold on our own. If you just want to support in a little way, there's that. And then Andrew will unblock you. So just in case, if he wrongfully blocked you on Twitter for some dumb shit or rightfully blocked you for some very deserved shit, either way, for $100, he'll unblock you, no questions asked.
Second life.
I was going to say, of course, I've never wrongfully blocked anyone, but that is not true because one time... both friends of the show and friends in real life, before I'd met them, Aaron Gibson and Brian Safi, I had a policy of blocking anyone who advertises to you on Twitter. because I was like, fuck that. I'm trying to take money out of the Twitter wallet. But they were, I'm sure advertising their television show. And I hadn't met them yet, so I just blocked them. And that... of course, wound up being very awkward.
Oh, yeah, that's the Andrew I know and love.
So I have actually stopped fully blocking TV shows. I just mute them now. Because I am, if nothing, a huge sellout with no principles.
You're learning, man. Growth.
Man. Do we have racism news? Speaking of the format of the show, I'm going to tell you, I don't have much. There's COVID everywhere. Fucking please stay inside if you can. Our institutions are failing us. Take care of each other. That's all.
Yeah. I don't have racism news because this has been our racism news. The whole week I've been like, we're free. So that's my racism news is that I don't know. Now I'm the person that you yell at instead of me yelling at other people.
Well, why don't we take a break and then we'll do some racism questions with Cody Ziegler, who is back somehow. And we are back from the break. Zig is still here.
I am here still.
All right. So, this is one thing in the new regime because of the new shows. Yeah. We're sticking to two racism voicemails.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Per episode. So,
wow. Okay.
That's just how it is.
Let the convo breathe, you know.
Yeah, I stand. Yeah. I understand.
It's just how it is. So we're letting everyone know. Minor change in the format.
Look, you got to enter to the board of lectors now. You got a whole thing. You're both CEOs and CFOs. I get it.
Let us know. Who knows? Yeah, okay. I understand. Let's hit this voicemail if we can.
Hey, y'all. I had a question about customer service reps when you're talking to them on the phone. I've been ordering a lot of packages, and I feel like whenever I need to call in to ask a question about my package, it's often someone with a very heavy accent, and I found myself wishing that they could speak more clearly because sometimes I have a hard time understanding them, and then I immediately felt really bad for thinking that. So my question is this racist? Thanks. Bye.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Whew. That is. Zig, have you had any customer service related incidents, positive or negative, lately?
You know, I would say negatively because I have to contact them in the first place, but they have all ended positively because I have found that the loophole is using the bot that usually most places will have, like a bot that you can talk to. And they usually don't give any pushback, even if necessarily you were the one in the wrong making the order. So say for instance, I may have ordered something incorrectly from Amazon. I could just go to the bot and get everything fixed within like 15 minutes. Like back when I was in LA, I would basically order my groceries from Amazon delivery or whatever it was called, just because I was very paranoid about going to the grocery store. And for instance, I wanted it scheduled to deliver at like 9 a.m. and it was like 7, or it was like maybe midnight the night before. And I knew that I was not going to wake up in the morning to get those. I would simply be like, oh, I accidentally ordered the wrong thing for the wrong time. Can we just go ahead and cancel this? And the little robot man would be like, okay, it is canceled.
Wow.
So that has been my positive interactions with customer service. I, as someone who has worked in customer service adjacent businesses in a business before, I will say they want to be on the phone even less than you want to be on the phone. So like, it's not like they, it's not whoever person you're talking to is like, you know, they have to deal with maybe talking with someone who they might not necessarily understand as well as you understand them.
That is a good point.
I like how Zig just jumped straight to "I prefer robots to people," which is very producer Zig kind of thing. Not even producer Zig, just regular human Zig.
That's sci-fi Zig. I'm trying to get to those Gundams, baby.
Oh man.
I wonder. First of all, caller, we empathize. You know why you're wrong, but I will say, have a little empathy for yourself in that. You're calling because something is wrong with a thing you wanted, or a thing you wanted something to be smooth and it's not. So this is already an inconvenience. You're calling a thing. The people, they have, I'm not even talking about accents, but people have, they're given, you know, scripts of things they're allowed to say to you, what they're not allowed to say. It's not effective communication. No one wants to be there, and they're not allowed to say certain things because everything's being recorded and they can get in trouble for everything. So it's already fraught. There's tension, there's intrigue, there's mystery. So I will say that I understand you're wanting it to be smoother, and it's unfortunate that that includes you feeling a way about the accent. But just peel a layer back and just instead let your frustration be at the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's at the corporation. Like, it's like, they you know, elected to outsource jobs because it was cheaper. They're exploiting folks, and it's tricky. I think the problem too is like the caller is at least thoughtful about it, but like so many people are like, oh, this is, you know, these people with accents are incompetent or stupid or whatever. And that's like, that's why it feels racist to think that when you have a difficult thing, a conversation with customer service folks. And it's also like the way you say, "Can I speak to someone in America?" That's how you can tell you're racist.
I went to sign up for something, and on their website, it was like, "Our customer service representatives are located in America," all caps, red, white, and blue lettering where it previously had been none. And I was so upset. I was like, I can't, we can't order from there.
Even
if we never have a customer service problem, I don't want to deal with these people.
Yeah, I can't sponsor that. I can't in good faith sponsor that.
No.
Yeah. It is, I mean, I guess that's the problem with globalism. Globalization? I don't know what the phrase is.
Yeah, I think globalization is the word. I think globalism is the bad word. I think that's the very problematic one.
Right, okay. It's just like, this is like we're elected to exploit people across the globe because phones and the internet let us do it, and now the corporations have decided to also make you racist as part of it.
I mean, it really is the perfect Venn diagram of capitalism and the worst aspects of globalization.
I'll also say, caller, if you're on the phone with someone who is not a native English speaker, I don't know where you're from, and I didn't really detect a strong regional American accent from you, but just think about how different regional accents and dialects are difficult for non-native English speakers. I have a really good friend who's Welsh, and he always says he feels bad whenever he's talking to like a robot or a computer because they can't understand him. So he's sitting there trying to like read off his credit card number, and he's just like, 4, 3, 2, like try to get rid of his Welsh accent. So just
I can relate when that's definitely me trying to get rid of my Southern accent.
Zig, you know, I never noticed that you had a Southern accent until I listened to you on a podcast. I listened to you on Jordan Jesse Go just the other night, and I heard you say a couple wines. Maybe it was cheer wine that
cheer
really
wine,
got me.
Thanksgiving.
I was like,
I make a very concerted effort to have a non-regional dialect when I am in LA.
Wow, I'm sorry you have to cover up your roots.
That's okay. It's just so people can understand what I'm actually saying, because it gets bad. It gets very thick. Like when I come back to LA, I'm going to be incomprehensible. I can guarantee it.
Oh man,
open a cool like juke joint that like serves chicken and whiskey and stuff, and just everyone will find it charming. You'll be a hit.
Yeah. I start wearing velvet and drinking mint juleps.
Yeah, you need to be like the black version of that show Sharp Objects. I just want like so southern, so genteel, so murder.
Oh boy.
And just
Oh yeah. Boy, yeah. I would love to like just watch a house band play and then walk through and meet all the locals. That's definitely a life goal.
I would love to see the version of Zig that maybe murdered a man in the past, but we don't know. And he definitely feels bad about it if he did.
I'm just a southern dandelion blowing into town.
I'd love to see that version of a man who's just in like a 6-piece suit and it's 135 degrees outside, but he's not sweating, but his glass of iced tea is.
I'm putting this up on my vision board for 2021. I hope you guys know this.
That's the Zig. That's the Zig we know and love.
Yeah, that's my true form.
That we fear a little. Let no one say we do not fear him, because right. We do.
That's why we brought him back in a friendship capacity. All our former producers, all our ghosts of producers past, we're bringing back in non-contractual friend hang only capacities as opposed to producer capacities, because it improves our relationships with them.
Yeah, there's less threat of
death.
Well,
again, yeah, keep your enemies close is what Tawny's saying.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of, have you been shooting guns while you're down south right now?
I have not shot a gun yet, but I literally am within 5 feet distance of a gun at any room I'm in this house. Not me. My uncle has a AK under the couch. He has a big revolver on top of the fridge, and then he keeps like a little pistol next to him in the chair that he sleeps in. I got a whole arsenal set up over here.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. Yeah. A lot just happened. We found out that your uncle sleeps in a chair and there's a pistol next to that chair at all times.
Yeah.
Does he have a bed and he just prefers the chair? Or does he just fall asleep there?
There isn't. First of all, the answer is yes to both of those. There's an open bed at all times in this this house. But he chooses willingly to sleep on the bed, and then he'll get up and then transfer himself to the couch to sleep for the rest of the night once his stories have gone off.
I kind of envision like a modern day Game of Thrones thing where the chair is just made out of 100 guns.
It's getting very close. Like it's like you guys, listeners at home can't see, but I am literally next to so many types of ammunition just next to.
Oh my god!
You held up a box of bullets like I would have held up a box of staples.
Yeah, they're everywhere over here. Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense, because that's what you use for putting holes in shit.
Yeah. But when I do go shooting, don't worry. There will be a video sent to the text thread and many pictures, so don't worry.
God.
I can't wait, / I'm scared. Everyone, please be safe.
Yeah. This is... You know what? No, just wave that gun around. Do whatever you need to.
Oh, yeah, sure, dude. Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, well, I guess in the interest of, you know, legal protections for all of us, we should probably just play another voicemail.
Yo, okay, I know this is racist. Please help me out, though. I was on a Facebook thread. That was my first fault. Something about Cardi B saying that she lost the Grammys in 2012 to this quote-unquote white man, Bon Iver. Anyway, the thread turned into slavery? Not sure how, okay. But anyway... Somebody said something along the lines of black people sold black people into slavery, and then insinuated that black people are responsible for slavery. I don't know. I mean, obviously, this is just to shift the blame off white people and the slave trade and all that shit. But, like, how do I respond to that? Because what the fuck? How do you? I don't know how to. That's not true. Like, I don't know. Yeah, please help. I know this is racist, but I don't know how to respond to someone saying stupid shit like that. Okay, thank you. Bye bye.
Oh wow. Now that's a voicemail.
I mean, obviously the answer is no. Cardi B deserved the Grammy.
just point of order, it was Nicki Minaj, and it was Nicki Minaj, and Nicki Minaj tweeted that the Grammy should have been mine, et cetera, et cetera. And she ended her tweet with, but they gave it to the white man, Bon Iver. And it is maybe my favorite thing that's ever been tweeted. Calling Bon Iver the white man.
The white.
You know, like the white man, Jethro Tull. The singular white man.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I think the, you know, I think the most, if a Southerner, if I may speak on the subject, I think the correct answer is to immediately disengage, because they're not gonna, you're not gonna change their mind with that, no matter how hard you're gonna hit them with facts. I think also, once again, speaking back to our earlier point of capitalism, I think traditionally, from what little readings I've done, the idea of black people selling or taking other people into slavery or selling them was, I think, based off Africans West Coast Africans as far as like being like prisoners of war and using them for like that type of labor. It wasn't like chattel slavery where we're going to have a complete industry based around the bodies of black people. Not that either one was good, but they were two completely different ideologies. They're both wrong. They're both bad, but like they didn't know that they were selling these people into being farm stock.
Yeah, probably. You know? Yeah. It was like Roman slavery.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is just like, you know, it was closer to an indentured servitude. You could have, you know, some rights, you had like the ability to have property and all this shit. Yeah, but it's also like the implication of that shit is so fucking ignorant, as if like these innocent white people were just like cruising their they boats made us around. Do it. Yeah, it was we had to.
My thought is like, all right, yeah, say even in this bizarre universe where this did happen, they're both still bad and they both should not have happened. It doesn't justify racism.
Like, yeah.
That's also the immediate thought that comes to mind.
Yeah. We had no choice but to do a slavery.
We were here just trying to get spices. We really just needed spices, and instead they gave us people, these bad African kings.
Oh, mm-hmm. No. Guess we got to run with it.
Yeah, we have no choice but to keep this institution going for generations, fight a war over it.
Yeah.
And But yeah, you're right. It's like, here's a question. Does every conversation on Facebook become this specific one?
I think.
I haven't been on it in about 5 years.
Yeah, I've been on it in a while. I deleted mine, but I'm sure the percentage is very high.
Yeah, Facebook is simply a neo-Nazi website now. It's real weird. It's a neo-Nazi.
It's a great place to watch. Yeah, it's a great place to watch your least favorite high school friends argue with your grandparents.
Yeah. It's like, okay, here's what it is. It's like if you had a list of everybody's birthdays written in a copy of Mein Kampf. That's what Facebook is. That's all
and
that
leggings.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And women selling you threadbare leggings.
Oh, boy. What a nightmare.
If you're into racism and MLMs, it's a great app to use.
Mary KKK.
Yeah.
It's a great app. Enjoy it a lot.
Oh, God.
Look, none of us are superior. If you use Facebook and you're feeling grumpy because we're acting superior than you, we're all addicted to Instagram and it's all the same shit. So we're not better than you. We're just specifically snarky. I was going to say, though, that I find it wild that in any argument you would blame the supplier of a thing and not talk about how the demand is also at fault. This is basically what Andrew was saying funnier earlier, but it's like the white people that came there, they created the demand for the thing. So even if black, you know, even if African people were willingly selling them into slavery and knew exactly what was going on, it started because of the white folk. So... But yeah, like you said, you're not going to argue
just,
with those people.
I guess if you have to respond, if you have to respond to this racist, it's like, hey, if someone offered to sell you a slave today, would you buy it? Them. Jesus, I said it. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, would you buy a slave?
Yeah, do you want the three magic beans or the person? Which one are you going to pick?
And, Andrew, did and you thus, know it's like, that answer should tell you everything about who you are.
Andrew, you really, I mean, we're really coming out of the gate hot. Our first indie record, really posing the big heady questions.
Would y'all buy a slave?
Yeah, throw that Twitter poll up. Let's see how the yeah. Yoko gets.
Oh, God. And but like all totally disingenuous arguments from racists, don't talk to them. Like, it's fucking pointless. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Don't. Instead, you know what you should do? Since that thread was originally started about Nicki and the Grammys, what you need to do is post very flattering things about both Nicki's music and Bon Iver, because they're two great artists, a band and a great artist. And, you know, we don't need this hate. We don't need the community tearing itself apart.
Man. Music is crazy, actually, the more you think about it. Like, how is that? How are you going to judge those two things and be like, only one of them is the best this year? It's just, what a wild. You know what? Fuck music. That's my
there
hot
go.
Take.
That's a take.
I just hate music.
Oh, wait. Now wait. Wait, did you guys see the, this should have been part of news, but Justin Bieber, not complaining, I shouldn't say complaining, but he was, you know, curious about why his album wasn't considered an R&B album.
Oh, no. I saw the whisper of it and then I didn't follow the link.
So Justin Bieber, regardless of what you think about him as an artist or a person or whatever, I listened to the album. His point is he was surprised that the Academy didn't classify his album as R&B and instead classified it as pop. Mm. And that is likely because he has mostly put out pop music, because I listened to the album, and while it is not, it's not R&B in the way we always think of it, the elements that require something to fit into a genre, with like the sound of the drums and the way backing vocals are produced, you know, all these arbitrary, you know, it's like film genre shit, just genre shit. Pretty faithfully adhered to, and you can tell that he was trying to make an R&B album, and that some would say he did make a good R&B album. So, but I think it's interesting that this is one of the first times, at least recently, that we're hearing a white artist complain about genre, you know, gerrymandering, I guess, because normally it's black artists. Like, if you remember Tyler, the Creator, a couple years ago, put out an album that was classified as urban contemporary or whatever, but like, there's no way, when you listen to that, they were basically only doing it because he's a black person. And, you know, black people get shoved into those urban and R&B categories no matter what type of music they make. It happens year after year at the Grammys. So it was interesting that this, I don't know, I felt like it hit a lot more people's radar because it was Justin, which is not great, but yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking wild. That's like one of those, I mean, I guess to me, I was like, I'm sure this has been a call before, but just like Beyonce at the CMT Awards.
Oh, man, I forgot about that. Yeah.
An uproar. And I was like, oh, God. It's just everything in the music industry, not everything, but all this shit is just coded for race.
Yeah.
In a way that is like wild.
100%. I mean, the invention of rock and roll, it started with the coding of race, because it started during the throes of segregation. So yeah, it's wild to me that we haven't like completely dismantled music genres now, knowing what was going on when they were created. I mean, I've gone on this tear before about how in a lot of ways Ike Turner, terrible man, but he did kind of invent the rock and roll sound. He invented guitar distortion, and how you would never really think of the type of music that he was making as modern day rock and roll. Like, it would automatically be shoved into a black people category. Mm-hmm. Even the stuff he did with Tina. I mean, Ike and Tina, that was quintessential rock and roll, but because it's black music, you know, it's a different thing. But this is a different show, I guess. Now I'm on my music journalism show. SiriusXM needs to hire me. Wait.
Yeah. More like UnseriousXM, right, folks? That's right. Suboptimal Podcasts, suboptimalpods.com. Zig, thanks for coming in and joining us on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's obviously one of my favorite shows, so like, I love coming and doing the show. So have me back whenever you would love to have me back.
That would be wonderful.
We would love to have you come back.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What do we say now? We say suboptimalpods.com. Call in with your racism questions, 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE. Follow Suboptimal Pods on Instagram. Follow us.
Yeah, at Suboptimal Pods. You can follow at Yo Is This Racist. You can follow at Trondi Newman, at Andrew T. And if you own a company, we're now also in charge of our own advertising. So there's a link on suboptimalpods.com. If you want to advertise on Yo Is This Racist, you can follow a handy dandy little link. It's going to take you to our friends over there who handle the ads.
Yeah.
So go do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yay for Zig, of course.
Oh, yeah. Social media is Yay for Zig if you want to see me or hit me on the interwebs. The Dark Weed Pod, if you want to hear me and fellow homie Bertie Reed yell about nerd shit with other brown people, that's the podcast to listen to.
Hell yeah.
Zig, if we asked you to come back full time to produce all of our podcasts for us, what would you say?
I would legitimately, I would legitimately think about it. I would legitimately think about it.
That's what I was hoping you would say, because now I can offer you the sweeter deal of you don't have to do any work, but you can come back whenever you want.
Oh, how hell yeah. Yeah, 100%. It would be an honor.
Oh, man. No bullshit. This is no cap. This is business person Tawny. Just a little bait and switch, she a little cornered bit of negotiating. Me, yeah. This is fucking wonderful to watch. Yeah.
Succession Tawny.
It's wonderful and terrifying to see.
I love Succession. I'm a real Myrna. I don't know any of their names.
Zig watched all of Succession. He's turning into
I have two episodes left in the second season, and let me tell you, I hate every single person on that show.
I gotta watch it.
I gotta balance it out with some like Ted Lasso or something and watch some like wholesome content.
Hell yeah.
You're just talking about the plurality of whiteness now, Zig. Well, you're just looking at the whole spectrum of whiteness. Speaking of the whole spectrum of whiteness, go to my Instagram. It'll probably still be near the top. I found a photo of myself, I think from kindergarten, with my whole kindergarten class. if you ever want to see why Andrew had such a strong reaction to white people.
I've never seen a picture that said Ann Arbor, Michigan harder than that picture. It was beautiful to watch. Call in 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE.
Yup. That's it. Peace.
That's it. Bye.